This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
I'm out of here. No. That's okay. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome to our September IHOSP chapter membership call, or association membership call, I should just say. And welcome, welcome. Thank you all for being here. This is Jenny Norris, your chairwoman, and I am texting people who can't get in. So Barb, hopefully, is able to get on because she didn't have the right code either. So welcome to September. Fall is just around the corner. We're very excited about what's coming down the next couple of weeks. And so we've got a great call lined up for you tonight. Betty Voss set it up, and she's traveling to teach, and I think she's teaching Cherry Hill. So she is on the road. So I'll be interviewing Leslie Kramer. Leslie Kramer is one of our guests speakers for the call, and he'll be talking about business and structure and profitability, and maybe touch on the topic he'll be teaching on at conference. We also have John Matthews with Levitate, which is one of our new vendor partners, and we are very excited to have them joining us. I did mute everybody, but I hear somebody like rustling in the background. So if you're on the leadership side and you're doing that, you can mute yourself and then unmute when we need you. So. But anyhow, so I do have some announcements. Hopefully you guys are all getting excited for conference. Woohoo! We're getting really excited. Yoo-hoo! We still have a lot of you. People are still signing up to register, so it's not too late. If you guys have anybody that you're, you know, encouraging to come along, get them there, because it's going to be a, you know, once-in-a-lifetime event, as far as it'll never be repeated again. And we have so many great speakers that'll be sharing, plus all the activities we have planned. And so I first want to say, those of you that are coming, and if you know people that are not on this call and they are coming, there's an app called Whova, and it's spelled W-H-O-V-A, Whova. And it needs to be downloaded, because that's how we're running the entire event while we're there. So all of the sessions are uploaded into it. You can pick your personal agenda. That's how you sign up for breakout sessions through Whova. And so when registration happens at the event, people who have not downloaded that will be in a special line, downloading the app and then getting themselves set up so that they can select breakout sessions and we can check them in through that app. So there's a lot of really great chat groups happening. It's a little out of control just because, I mean, there's a stupid thing, this leaderboard that doesn't really get you anything except points. And so people can post different conversation topics, but it's just a way to increase engagement. So I'm happy with what I'm seeing on there. And there's also meetup groups happening. So people are scheduling different meetup groups. So there might be one, like, for example, We the North, that's the Canadians. They started a meetup group. So they're encouraging people that are other people from Canada to get together, and they can, whether they want to sit together, take a picture, or have a time to talk or what have you. There's all these different groups happening. So there's one for the advanced teacher training. There's groups for people from what do they call it, the left coast versus the east coast. They didn't call it west coast. They called it left coast. San Antonio, Houston, and so forth. So there's chances to get around and get to know people from your region. There's also a chapter membership. If you want to become part of a chapter, we'll have a meetup for that. So that app is really, really useful. It's a great way to communicate. So if you haven't downloaded that, I have emailed you. We have emailed you through the app. I've even made phone calls to people. Yesterday, I uploaded everybody who's an attendee into the app in order to access all of the information. Prior to that, it was just the VIPs, so they had first crack at the breakout sessions. Now, everybody that was currently registered, you're all in there. There are speaker profiles. There's our vendor profiles. All the companies get a profile and a portal. They can upload documents. You can share information with each other. The maps for the event are all loaded in there. There's little icons that show you where the different vendors are going to be, so it's a pretty cool app. I even did the entire hotel picture for everybody, so you can see the entire layout and then where our wing section is going to be, the Magnolia section. So Barb, you're on. I just got your text. You there?
Yeah. Yes. Thank Woo-hoo. You.
Okay, good. Okay, so anyhow, the conference, there's still time to register. People have been asking about bringing plus ones, so you can bring a guest for just the dinner. On the showboat, the General Jackson showboat, you'd hear Barb Schwartz's inspirational talk, because she was the only speaker that night. Our awards will be that evening. And so that's going to be fun. So that's one price. I think that's $125. And then there's also, you could do the plus one and ExoNight, or you can do ExoNight, the celebrity keynote speakers, and the dinner. So there's different prices for that. You do have to register each person individually because we need to know their meal selection, and also they need to agree to the event terms and so forth. So if you guys have any questions, just let us know. You can reach out to me, Jenny at IHOS, or Krista at IHOS, and let us know if we can help you in any way. That's pretty much on my plate. So the awards closed. Thank you all who voted for your colleagues. You nominated. You submitted the awards. And I know it was a little different this year because we wanted to have no self-nominations. And so there were some really wonderful things shared about people like for the Rising Star or the Barb Shore Staging Excellence Award or the IHOS Spirit Award. So some of the individual awards were really great. And then all of the different property awards that came in. And we'll streamline this. This is the first time using an outside app for that. So it did get a little disorganized, I guess, as far as how people were submitting their information. But overall, I was really happy with how things came in. So thank you for everybody who participated in that. Some really wonderful submissions came in. And so we're just working away. Those of you that are coming to conference, Michelle Getty is our point of contact for different committees to facilitate. So we have our registration committee. We don't need any more people for that. So thank you, those who volunteered. Decorations, we're still trying to figure out what we're going to do on the boat. We have to figure out how to get stuff to the boat. And so we might, depending on what they have for the tables, I don't know that we're actually going to do centerpieces, so I'm still determining that. We have things coming from last year being shipped up to Nashville from Charlotte. So those of you that want to help assemble centerpieces, we could use your help. Of course, the big day is going to be Wednesday. That's where we're going to assemble all of the tote bags with our programs and all the different vendor giveaways are going to be assembled ahead of time in a room and then taken to the registration area for Thursday. So the setup in the ballroom will start Thursday morning. So if you are able to come and help, that would be great. Just let us know. We do have committees, and so you'll see a lot of activity. You don't have, you know, you're not required. This is your event. You get to enjoy, be educated, meet people. So much to do in Nashville. So if you're getting in early, people have been messaging about that, too. There's all sorts of things you can do downtown. The hotel has shuttles that can take people around. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and I can't believe it's like 2.5 weeks away. I know. So I'm just a little frazzled. My tote bag people from last year, I just had to get a refund from them. They couldn't do what I wanted. They wouldn't respond to me, so now I'm scrambling trying to find a tote bag producer. But Larry, my awards guy, is coming through for me, which is good. So that's pretty much all I have. Tomorrow, our show, we have the Home Staging Talk Show Live. Don't forget to tune into that live every Wednesday at 9:30. So we've got some guests on tomorrow that will be wonderful to hear. So I believe I have Catherine Lewis Brown on tomorrow. And let's see who else is coming on. Catherine Lewis Brown and, sorry, I don't want to do that. I want to look at this. Okay, and then Leslie Kramer, you're on tomorrow. Did you know that?
Well, maybe. Am I there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. So I'll send you the info.
Okay,
9:30. I know you guys are out of town, so if we have to reschedule, we can. But this is, I'll send you the info.
No, it's fine. I'll make it work.
Awesome. Okay, good. Well, okay, so I would like to. So, Krista, are you on?
I am. I'm here.
Okay, good, good, good. So Chris is going to introduce. We're going to start off with John. So I'm going to give it over to Chris. Oh, sorry. I start off with Barb. Barb's going to do her inspirational moment. Sorry. Yeah. Barb is up. So Barb, take it away.
Well, everybody, are you jazzed up for what's about to happen next month? You need to be there.
Yep.
And you know what I was thinking about when I was eating lunch, even just today, is that a lot of times people say, well, I don't need to go to the conference or I don't need to go to that convention. I just have so much going on. Well, what are you going to leave out? I mean, what are you going to miss? And you won't know if you're not there. And one of the things I thought about at lunch was our speakers are fabulous and you will learn from them. And we all know that saying, one idea from coming to conference is more than enough, especially when it makes you money. But the other thing I was thinking about at lunch was this. Wait a minute. Don't you want to know what other stagers are doing? don't you have a few issues or maybe one big one? Maybe it's inventory. Maybe it's pricing. Maybe it's, you know, getting those realtors off their chairs to work with you and to have the opportunity to talk one-on-one. Holy cow, at the break, when you eat, before things start, and when that session wraps up, and to set a time to talk with them even more. Perhaps you have a bite of lunch together the next day. I just thought, you know, I don't think we talk about that enough. I don't think we think about that enough. I have never met a stager ever that didn't have an idea or two or more for you and me, at least to ponder or to think, wow, I never thought of it quite like that. And maybe it won't work for you exactly. Maybe not. But by the time that you tweak it and you move it and you see the parts that will work for you, oh, my gosh, you got an idea. In addition to speaker ideas, you got an idea from one stager, two stagers, three stagers. I mean, we have the expo. We have the country dancing. We have this, you know, the riverboat. We have all these times and opportunities for you. Somebody's moving papers, so you need to mute yourself. Anyway, Taya, it's just a fabulous opportunity that I think so many people miss. And they don't realize that that alone could be the reason to go. When are you going to get 400 stagers together that you can talk to and learn what they're doing and their ideas and take it to the bank? So in addition to all the great education from the platform, I also want to have us think about many times we need to have a break and to make, you know, have some fun. And at the same time, though, to learn more about what's going on where, because those 400 people are not each going to be on the stage, quote unquote, getting ideas. There's not time for that. And just want to give you that little challenge. You know, I am speaking after dinner on the riverboat, and I'm very honored to be there. And I have some new strategies for you. I really do. I'm very excited to share my thoughts with you. And I really believe that the topic that I have is really meant to be. And it came to me about the word power. What is power to you? Now, some of us think of power in one way, and some of us think of it in many ways or another way. I want to share the meaning of power with you that maybe you haven't thought about. And it affects every single thing that you do. Every single thing. And there are three keys as a part of that power. In the 30 minutes that I have, you know, I can talk very quickly and be very animated. At least that's my goal. So that you really take hold of it, because it's not me, it's the message. And I really believe for some of us, if not all of us, there'll be an idea or more there too. Excuse me. I woke up with a froggy voice. Excuse me. And it could actually change your life. It changed mine. And I'm excited to share that with you. So before I just wrap up here, I have another talk that I'm going to be giving in Europe when I am going to go and been blessed to ask to go over there after our conference. And that talk I'm entitling, Even Eagles Need a Push, because I view you all of us, no matter where we live, no matter the name of our business, no matter how long we've been in business, as eagles. We certainly don't want to be turkeys. And you can laugh if you want, but eagles, and they need a push now and then too. So who are you? Why are you here? What do you feel you have to contribute that will make a difference? And I know each of you, I believe in you with all my heart, are very, very special, have very important differences that you make, hopefully, every single day. What do you value and what do you believe in? A philosophy of life is really important, and I'll be talking about that too. So we know about having a sense of purpose, and people that have a sense of purpose really know that the inspired person who comes to life with a person and a passion daily, they decide to grow and contribute. So when I was thinking about the Eagles, because one flew by right over the house the other day, and I was concerned that he was going to scoop up little Bobo, who weighs 5 pounds, and he kept going on, thank heavens. But this is really the truth, what happens in the nest. You know, the eagles gently, the mother eagle and the father too, coax their offspring towards the edge of the nest. Her heart usually is really beating, they have decided, really fast. And even the body quivers when they've studied eagles. Why does the thrill of soaring have to begin with the fear of falling? The mother eagle thought about. That ageless question was still unanswered for her. Do you ski? First time I skied, I was so afraid to lean out over my skis. It seems, you know, just not the way that you'd be able to stay standing and to actually ski. And yet that's what happens, is when we don't, we lean into the hill and fall down. And that can be true for any of us with our businesses and where we are in our business, how our philosophy is right now. And in the tradition of the eagle species, well, there was nothing but air below that nest. Is it possible that this time it will not work? Mother Eagle said to herself. We say that about our kids, too. Despite her fears, the eagle knew it was time. I hear an eagle, actually, on this call. No. Her parental mission was all but complete. And there remained one final task. It's called the push. What push can I or a friend or someone at the conference give you? The eagle drew courage from that inside wisdom that she had. And until her children, the baby eagles, discovered their wings, there was no purpose for their lives. Until they learned how to soar. What a great word. I can see you soaring. They would fail to understand the privilege it really was to have been born an eagle. The push was the greatest gift she had to offer. It really is her supreme act of love. And so one by one, she pushed them. And they flew. I'm excited to see you at conference, and I hope to share a few pushes with you, and you probably will do that with me too. All my love, and God bless you, and have a fabulous safe trip when you come to conference. I'll see you there. I can't wait.
This is going to be so exciting. Thanks, Barb. And the analogy, the example of the eagle pushing the babies out of the nest, it's almost, I mean, we live that in our lives, whether it's business or you have kids, and they talk about, like, you know, they have to get out of the nest. And that, so that analogy comes from the birds, because you have to let people fly. And I totally 100% agree with what you said about people who say, oh, I don't need to go to a conference. You know, none of us know it all. We're all learning. And I have been sharing with people that if you can't get away for 5 or 6 days out of 365 for your business and refresh and learn something that's going to help you advance your business, and are, you know, you need to be able to say to your clients, I'm going to be gone for X number of days to learn and advance my business to be able to serve you even better. And that's why I'm attending this. You know, a client hopefully will understand. And I know that when I leave town, usually that's when, you know, everything comes in. Everybody wants you when you leave town, whether it's a vacation or a conference or something. That's like Murphy's Law. And so, but we can't let the fear of missing out on an opportunity, or maybe I'm going to miss a staging, or that client's not going to call me back. We can't let fear hold us back, because what you're missing out is so much bigger than that one staging project or two that you might have to postpone, or they may, you know, work with someone else for this one time. It's so important for us to refresh our business acumen and our staging abilities, and see what's trending and so forth, and stay on the cutting edge. And that's what the conferences do for us. So I commend everybody who is coming. If you're on the fence, you're thinking like, oh, I don't really know if I need to go. I'm doing pretty well. I always say you're not going to be any more excited about your business or your future than you are right now, versus when you go, you'll be so pumped up, and the information you're going to take away is going to be so helpful. There's a lot of background noise. I don't know who that is. If someone's in a car.
Yeah, that was going on the whole time. I don't know.
Those of us on the leadership side, mute yourselves, because somebody has a lot of background noise. We're hearing, I don't know if you're in a train or something, but just hit the mute on your own personal cell phone so you don't get any background noise, because want to make sure that everybody who's listening, who's on the other side, can hear the speaker who's sharing, because right now there's a lot of conflict with noise. So if you could do that, that would be awesome.
Something I want to add to that, Jenny, is that really when someone says to me, oh, you know, I can't afford to go, and oh my gosh, I just have all this business. You have all that business, or maybe it's not quite all that business. When you're productive, you have a way that you can have people work for you, with you, take care of things. And I feel then that person really is not only missing things, but they're missing how they can run their business in a better way. Because if you can't make the time, that tells me then your business is running you. You're not running
Absolutely.
It.
Yep. Your business is running you, and your clients are running you when they say you can't leave, or you live in fear of not being available. That's absolutely true. So, again, I still hear background noise. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're not talking, so Krista and Leslie and John and BJ, I don't know if you're still on this side. If you guys could just hit the mute button on your phones. I did it on my side because there's sound in the background when I'm not talking. So, all right. So I'm now going to turn it over to Krista to interview John.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hi, John.
Hang on a second. Is somebody in a car?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, something.
This is terrible. So who's in a car?
Not me.
We got Darth Vader on the call. So Leslie,
yeah.
John's been on mute, so I don't know.
Yeah, I was on mute until just now.
Leslie, where are you calling from? Oh, yeah, maybe he muted.
I was on mute. Sorry, Montel, Texas.
Okay. Yeah, so we're just getting a lot of feedback. I don't know where that's coming from. So, all right, so hopefully it's gone now, which is good. So, all right, so Krista, take it away.
Okay. Hi, John. I'd like to introduce John Matthews with Levitate today. And here's a little piece of information that I will share with everybody, and then John will let you share all about your company and all the details of what you're going to do for us and what we can do for you and how we can work as partners together. So here we go. John has been connected to real estate and the home staging industry for 15 years. John and his wife, Lauren, started a home staging business in Colorado over 13 years ago. The business is now run by an amazing team, allowing John and Lauren to live full-time in Southern California. Over the past few years, John has spent most of his time pursuing other business ventures and creating technology resources to make life easier for home stagers. He is joining us today to talk about his new brand, Levitate.
Well, thank you.
Welcome, John. Welcome,
yeah,
welcome.
I'm excited to be here, excited to connect with you. And I'd like to, you know, first and foremost, I appreciate the opportunity, but I really appreciate Barb's illustration because honestly, Levitate for me was the product of being pushed and being challenged by some friends that are even on this call. And it really came out of that collaboration, that encouragement, and being pushed in conference settings and networking opportunities and collaborating with stagers in my area. So definitely appreciate that.
So, John, hang on just a second. So, Leslie, I don't know if you muted. It was actually better when you were unmuted. So I don't know if it's like a reverse situation. So try unmuting yourself because we're back getting the Darth Vader effect again.
Me?
Yeah, so keep yourself unmuted.
I am unmuted. Okay.
Yeah, because I think that helps. Okay, so go ahead, John. Keep talking.
Sure.
Sorry.
Sure. Yeah, no worries. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'm excited to introduce Levitate. It's a brand that has been, you know, really built and born out of my personal experiences as a home staging business owner, just trying to improve our processes and make our lives easier. I know a lot of stagers can relate with our story, but you know, very early in the life of our staging company, I noticed that all of our sales calls, they were really they were coming across the same way. Every customer, day in and day out, more than anything, just simply wanted to know initially what is staging going to cost, and then obviously they have follow-on questions about timing and the process. But fundamentally, every call that would come into our business was one around the cost of staging. What's the approximate cost to get my home staged? And so I know we've all had the same conversation. We ask 20 questions. We talk through the process, and we say, you know, tell me a little bit more about your home. What's the size or the style or the price point? How many rooms need staging and treatment? And when are you looking to stage? And after we have that conversation, we look at our pricing grid, and then we give them an estimate based on the experience that we've had and the pricing grid that we've created. So that back and forth, that Q&A, I noticed that it was just happening over and over and over again. And so I basically thought to myself, maybe there's a way to take this pricing grid and put it into a computer program, put it in a way that a customer can land on my site and receive an estimate for what staging should cost based on the custom criteria that they set. And so that's really how Levitate was born, certainly from this concept of being able to give instant quotes online. But Levitate really came out of other stagers approaching me saying, I would love to have that for my business. I would love to be able to plug something like that in. And that's ultimately what we've created. Our product at Levitate is a technology feature. It is like a widget or a chat bot that you get to install on your own website. You control the pricing calculations. You control the information. The leads belong to you. Everything happens on your site. So the Levitate widget plugs in, and it empowers you to give your customers an estimate of what staging should cost based on the variables that you set. And it's powerful. It generates a lot of leads and opportunities for stagers, and it also saves time. A lot of that initial back and forth in just trying to get an estimate can be alleviated, and then you can very quickly pick up the phone and move on to next steps and talk with the customer about the details and the term and some of the things beyond, you know, just that initial estimate of what staging should cost.
Which is really exciting. It's a good time saver, and it's going to help with the people that are looky-loos, you know, kicking the tires, and also give them a realistic perception of what staging investment needs to be. I had a gal call yesterday, you know, scouting pricing for her daughter's townhouse that fell a contract. So I was able to pull the pictures up online and look at it, gave her, you know, range of pricing, and she thought she could do it all for $300. Oh, that's way too much, you know, what I quoted. I said, what were you hoping to invest? $300 ago, I start laughing. I go, I can't even get labor in a truck for that amount of money, let alone bring the furniture in and stage it and have the team do that. And I said, at this rate, you may as well have your daughter bring her furniture back in. She goes, oh, we can't do that for $300.
Exactly.
I was like, exactly. And that's just her old furniture. But meanwhile, it's just like I just wanted to go disconnect. Like something's not working in her brain. So people that are thinking like, you know, they don't understand that the pricing, it does help shorten the conversation. And so what do you do for the clients then that if they, I haven't seen the app in functioning. So I'm just asking people that want you to come out in person to do a preview, or they want that personal touch. They don't want to do it just through a computer portal. How do you address that?
No, it is a great question. And so we really built this for our business over 8 years ago. And the results were amazing because we were saving time. We were accelerating that process of giving an estimate. We were also finding that we received a much higher number of leads because we were getting inquiries from people in the evening, in their PJs. We were getting people during the workday at their desk when they should have been working, and they probably weren't going to pick up the phone and call us, but they were willing to go through that process. So we saw a significant increase in the number and the volume of leads, but it also allowed us to filter through the quality and have that qualitative view of, oh, this is someone that I really do want to follow up with. They're in my market. They have a home that's in the sweet spot of my service. And this is a client that I'd like to chase after. And then obviously you have those that you pick up the phone and you follow up with, and they are they're kicking the tires and they really aren't interested. And it's nice because they do save you, they save you the trouble and the headache of having that conversation. But again, when you pick up the phone with particularly the interested customers, they're so quick to say, hey, I got that, and I'm curious. I'm curious about next steps. Tell me more. What does the process look like? How long does it take? Will you come preview my property? And so it really is a great conversation starter, and it radically changed our business. And over the past a couple of years, I've been working with technology partners to create this. The two partners that I have at Levitate have never worked in or have any relationship to the staging industry. They've always been techies, and it's great because we're building a really good quality technology product, but that is also influenced from the personal experiences in staging. So we've helped stagers drive, I want to say it's about 7,000 leads, representing about $5 billion in real estate listings, and almost $16 million in potential staging fees or sales for stagers since we launched this. So it's powerful. It's a great tool. It's got a lot of customization. If you don't want to give a quote or there's a price point that might be too complicated to quote, you can set those parameters and you can say, you know, when the home is in this price point, we just want the customer to call us. We need them to know that we need more information. And so we have stagers on the platform that don't actually provide a custom quote. They always tell the customer, we need more details. Please call us. Mm-hmm. And others will price anything, you know, from entry level all the way up to the multi-million dollar estate. So it's exciting. And we're really excited to be affiliated and collaborating with Staged Homes and IHOSP. Excited to be a part of the upcoming conference and just continue to be that resource for stagers, helping them save time, build their business, and just, you know, make life easier. That's the goal.
So, John, are there any restrictions, geographically of where this is going to be available?
It is a website plugin. So really any home stager with a website. And there are some caveats that it works on most website templates. So if you're using Squarespace or Wix or WordPress, we have instructions and tutorials for how to install the application. And we have customers that have worked with us in obviously, all over the United States and Canada. We're definitely working on some features or eventually having different language options. And different currency outcomes, mm-hmm. or currency options. But there's really no restriction in terms of geography because it's you know, your website is virtual, it's everywhere.
Right.
And so if you're a stager mm-hmm. with a website, you can plug this in and it is every widget is specific to the individual stager's business. So you get your unique code, you get a dashboard to log mm-hmm. into and view your leads, you can manage the details that are given behind that quote. Every lead that comes in, you receive a very nice notification with the ability to push a button and call that customer directly with one click. So it's, you know, a platform that we're continuing to build. We're working towards integrations, things like MailChimp or Salesforce, where you can connect to those platforms. And so we're excited. It's all started with staging, but we're continuing to really build this concept. And I think it's been a lot of fun, and I think it's a great value.
Which is great. And I know that your daughter, Lauren, I'm not your daughter, my daughter's Lauren, your wife, Lauren. My daughter's Lauren.
Yep.
Your wife, Lauren, she took the ASC course like eight or nine years ago?
It's probably been a good 13 or 14.
13 years, wow.
Yeah,
she started.
And at that time, I was doing other things, and she came home one day and said, "Honey, I want to start a home staging business." And I said, "That's fantastic. What is that?"
Right.
And here we are, over a dozen years later. We have
a
fantastic team. Again, it's been built out of and really inspired by our experiences. We have an amazing team, and we touch hundreds, if not almost 1,000 properties a year. We live 1,000 miles away, so we know we've built a great team, and we've got great processes. And this is one piece in that puzzle for us, was being able to empower our team and empower customers to get an estimate quickly, to find the price, and obviously there's flexibility there. But it's been an exciting journey, and I'm excited to keep building with the technology side and coming up with more features and resources for stagers.
Great.
Well, we appreciate you being partnered with us at IHOS, and we're looking forward to have you in Nashville.
Oh, I'm excited to be there. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, bring your boots.
I definitely will.
Or your hat. Awesome. Well, good. Well, good. Well, thank you.
John.
So I really appreciate it. Thanks, Krista. All right. So I'm going to turn it over to for Leslie to share. So I'm going to read his bio. So Leslie and Leanne Kramer's personal branding statement we developed together is, quote, "to provide resources to people to live abundant, filling lives." I love that. This drives their motivation in their personal lives as well, in Leanne's decorating and design business and in Leslie's business brokerage endeavors as well. In July 2019, Leslie and Leanne sold their home staging business, and Leslie started the business brokerage company called Staged to Buy. Even though he has experience to help transition any business, he specializes in preparing and selling home staging companies for the market. We consult, we collaborate, we connect. Leslie is a CPA and an accredited staging professional master with solid expertise in nonprofits, including electrical energy, utility distribution, college administration, and at the executive levels, and former co-owner of one of the largest home staging companies in Texas. He has excellent team building, communication, and strategic planning skills, along with strong accounting system and business background with thorough understanding of financial analytics. I want to hire this guy. Leslie also has extensive experience in standard costing systems in manufacturing and construction. He's a proven leader with accomplishments and achievements. So he's also part of our ownership leadership team, and we are blessed to have them on board. And so, Leslie, we had you kind of, you came on the, what call was Catherine Lewis Brown's call, I think, and we had the Canada chapter call, that's what it was, and the sharing, I can't talk over
that. That is not me. That is not me.
Okay. I know. All right. So if you're moving around, I don't know if you have like the microphone in your chest or something, but anyway, try to pull it out. Okay, good. So Leslie, go ahead and what we want to learn, because you obviously have, you guys built a really strong business with staging. Now you're doing the business brokerage. And what would you say business-wise is, you know, we've talked about this, but what's one of the biggest challenges that stagers have when it comes to the business side?
Jenny, one of the biggest issues that stagers have to determine is what do they want to do? There's so many different services that can be offered in staging, and to me, without a doubt, the biggest challenge, if you're going to stage vacant homes, is capital, because it is capital intensive. You know, each house that is staged, if you're buying wholesale, you can supply, let's just say a 2,000 square foot house for about anywhere between $2,500 and $4,500. Well, when Leanne and I sold our business a couple of months ago, we had over 100 houses of furniture, and we had about 90 houses staged. And, you know, take 4 times 100, that's $400,000. We did have quite a bit of luxury furniture, and, you know, we had probably $600,000 worth of inventory. And that is a huge, huge challenge. We did that with no debt. Leanne started the business in 2008. At that time, I had a corporate job as a chief financial officer, and she was able to put all of her profits back into the business. And then in 2014 or 2015, I lost my job as a chief financial officer and joined Leanne, and we went from literally, 20 or 30 houses of furniture, and when we left, we had 120 houses of furniture. We did about 232 houses we staged in 2018, and through 7 months in 2019, we had increased by 75%. We were on track to stage over 400 houses. So, you know, in the staging business, it can be very, very capital intensive, but for everybody out there, you do not have to take on debt. It takes a lot of hard work. Leanne drove a pickup truck with a 17-foot trailer on the back for a while and conned other stagers into helping her move furniture. So, you know, it was very, very difficult. But it can be done. Hello. Does anybody hear me? Hello.
I'm here. This is Barb.
Okay.
I hear
you.
I can hear
you. Okay. Jenny?
I can hear
you. Something else. Jenny's making all the racket, I think. Okay. Let me, until somebody comes on and asks me a question, what I was going to talk about really was the business structure that anybody can do. It's not unique to the staging business, by no means. But really, there's only three types of corporations, if you will. There's an LLC, there's an LLP, and then there's a C-Corp. Now, one of the misconceptions that people have is that they can also create an entity called an S-Corp. And realistically, all an S-Corp is an LLC that has made an election to be taxed as an S-Corp. So an S-Corp is not a separate entity. It's just a tax election. I haven't talked to very many people that are an S-Corp. However, there's really, for tax purposes, there's a couple of little things, but most of it, of the savings with an S-Corp comes in that you are able to avoid self-employment taxes. Because in an S-Corp, you can take a salary, but you also can take draws like you would if you were in just a regular LLC, which is a partnership. So in a partnership, if it's just an LLC, then you prepare a 1065 partnership tax return. If you have made the S-Corp election, and you do that, if you're interested in that, you do that by filing another form. Let's see, it is, I think, form 2553. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, there it is. It's form 2553. You can make that election. with the IRS. It has nothing to do with being incorporated or anything. But you can – so anyway, so the main thing with an S-Corp is you can basically save about 8%. There's a chart here that I'm looking at. Up until you make over $100,000, so if you're making less than $100,000, and you can split that $100,000 between salary and the example that I'm looking at, they split it between $40,000 in salary and $60,000 in draw. If you do that with an S-Corp, you can save about 8%. When you start making over $100,000, then the benefits decrease as a percentage. So that's really the only significant difference. When you get into asset protection, I am not an attorney. I cannot help you with that because I honestly don't know, and even if I could, I couldn't because I'm not an attorney. I cannot practice law. But really the big thing is to make those determinations for asset protection. Realistically, it has to do with risk. You know, what is your risk? You know, I hear a lot of people talking about protecting their inventory and everything. And, I think a lot of people can probably relate to this. Before we sold our company, we probably had staged, I don't even know, 1,500, 2,000 houses, and we lost one house of furniture in a seedy part of town that we probably had $1,500, $2,000 worth of product in. It was an investor that was staging over 100 houses a year for us. We didn't tell them about it. Well, we did tell them about it just because of damage that they had to the property, but we did not go back and charge them. It was just business as usual. We don't really worry about inventory out in houses so much because the risk of loss is very, very minimal. We did have a house one time that was struck by lightning. Now, luckily, it was another stager that was renting furniture from us, and her insurance company paid for the whole thing. So when you're looking at asset protection, you really, really, really need to evaluate risk. What I hear a lot from stagers, they talk about risk. And when you really evaluate risk, inventory out in houses, there's really, we believe that there's very, very small risk of loss. Our biggest risk with inventory is not out in the houses. It's the inventory that is stored in our warehouse. That's the biggest risk for inventory. And, of course, if you can only pay that insurance bill if your inventory is out working for you. We had a 16,000 square foot warehouse. At any given point in time, you know, we had most of our furniture out in houses. So we probably only had about 25% of our inventory covered by insurance at any given one point in time. When we did, toward the last 2 years of running the staging business, We did not see any difference between January and August, the number of stagings. It was growth, 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 growth. As a matter of fact, we probably staged as many in January as we did in August. So we never had that much inventory left in the warehouse.
So let's
and,
say, can
in
you
our opinion.
Can you hear me now? Okay, good.
Yes.
I hung up and I came back in.
Talk
about, with the stagers, you know, a lot of people are very creative. They get into the business, they're attracted to it, and they don't really understand that it's a business. And so one of the things that I know when I got started, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I was taught by the best, and then I had my business manual, but I really didn't know what to expect. And so
there's a lot of people that are attracted to the industry because it seems fun. We all hear that. It's so fun what you do, and I want to decorate. And but they don't really understand that you got to structure it as a business. So from the beginning, there's people from all different levels here, but what are some of the tips you could give somebody as far as how they're organizing their business or things to, like even when anytime I've bought items for putting in people's homes, we're going to get rid of the I word, the inventory, I've always just written that off as an expense on my taxes for the whole year, and I should have been doing it differently because it's, when I'm not a tax person, but I know there's a way to reflect it that it's an income-generating asset or allocate it differently. And so these are things that people need to learn, and my CPA never told me anything about, you know, what I should or shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who your CPA is that told you that, but we did the exact same thing. Is that we never carried inventory or what we like to call is furnishings. When you get into discussions of inventory from a business perspective, we're misleading, you're misleading your banker, you're misleading potential buyers. It's not inventory. Inventory from generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP, some of y'all have heard of it, is that it gets utilized or it gets used by the business or it gets sold in one business cycle. Typically that business cycle is 1 year. So you can do two things. You can expense it off immediately, or you capitalize it and start depreciating it. That, with the nature itself, is not inventory. Inventory gets used up in a business cycle, and that's not what happens. So you either expense it, which means you go on the cash basis, or you go on the accrual basis, and you depreciate it over the life of the asset, which in this case we call them furnishings, and typically it's going to be about somewhere between 3 to 5 years. But realistically, in my personal opinion, is that if you're not expensing your inventory, you're paying unnecessary taxes up front. If you really look at it, at the end of the life cycle of your furnishings, the total taxes paid are the same. It's just that we're trying to pay less taxes in year one of purchase. So it makes a huge difference in cash flow. I had one stager,
right.
she may be on the call. She said, Leslie, we're paying so much taxes, it's ridiculous. And they were probably in a state where they had state income tax. And she said, I've talked to my CPA, because I'd already told her we were on the cash basis and we expensed everything. She said, I talked to my CPA and he said we couldn't do it. I said, then you go back to your CPA and you find a CPA that says yes. And that's exactly what she did. And every time I see her, she says, I can't tell you how much better it is from a tax basis standpoint of writing off our furnishings, writing off our inventory immediately. It saves, depending on how big you are, it can save tens of thousands of dollars. And then, of course, you take that and invest it back into more inventory if you're growing.
So you're saying that people should write it all off when they purchase it, or you're saying you should allocate? I'm confused, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I just
in my opinion, you should write it off immediately.
Okay.
And if your CPA tells you not to, then you find a different CPA.
Okay. Good.
Okay. But it literally, and Leanne and I built this business with not $1 of debt. It can be done. Now, you did bring up a good point, is most people get into this business because they want to make it look pretty. They want to make a house look pretty. They think it's glamorous. They they watch John's wife on HGTV, and they're going, we can do this. And they can do this, but what you don't see on TV, obviously, is 90% of the work that goes on before they get to TV. So it can be done. You've got to know and understand numbers. If numbers are foreign to you, if you're not very analytical, then it's going to be very difficult to grow your business. Leanne and I were doing over 7 figures a year the last 3 years of that we operated the business. And Leanne is extremely intelligent, but without my business background, it would have been very, very difficult to do.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think anybody getting in that it's a business that can pay people a little bit, or it can be very lucrative, high into the seven figures. And so I think for a lot of people that have aged into the industry, you know, we didn't really know what the potential was. And so now there's people that are looking at the industry, like the people that bought your company, and seeing it as a real viable opportunity. So those of you that are listening now or listening to the recorded version, you know, the main thing is to get the right business people in your sphere to support you, whether it's the CPA, business attorney, people that you have. You need your resources to help you structure, because there was a gal that was on, she was on Facebook. She was like, I'm selling off my inventory, like a garage, like, you know, come get it. And John, my husband, and I both reached out to her and said, why aren't you selling your company? I mean, you can't do, she has physical issues. She can't do it anymore, health issues. But I said, you know, if you have something that's an operational functioning company, don't just walk away. There might be a way that you could actually sell that to somebody who would purchase it, whether it's another stager or somebody from the outside. So just even having the right. So talk just briefly about your new venture, your business brokerage that you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the big things that Leanne and I recognized, we actually had planned this exit strategy back in 2008 when we started the company. Leanne had a retail store, and the recession of September of 2008, it got her. She had 3 retail stores, was doing probably $2 million worth of business, and there was 1 week where nobody came into any of her 3 stores. And
wow.
Basically, yeah, and it obviously was devastating. So when we started this company, of course, I was a bureaucrat, chief financial officer working for a big company. We said, mm-hmm. If we sell this, if we ever have the opportunity, we're going to cash out and we're going to sell our business. And that's John. I can hear John.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
So what we saw a big need in this business, exactly what you were talking about, Jenny, is that this is a business. And so many people get into this business and don't really know and understand. IHOS does a great job. I'm an ASPM master. I've been to a number of conferences. Leanne has been to every conference except for the one in Chicago. Everything we learned, I'm not going to say we learned at the conference. We either learned it at the conference or after the conference over cocktails, because there are some excellent stagers out there that know and understand business. And so one of the things that I have determined was that there was a need for being a consultant for staging businesses, but more importantly, to be able to help some of the larger staging businesses with an exit strategy. So I created a company, or Leanne and I created a company called Stage to Buy. And so I'm going to be helping stagers sell their businesses. And we just think, I mean, I think I'm the first one in the market that is specializing in staging businesses. There's about five websites that you can go to find a business for sale, but none of them are dedicated to a staging business. And believe it or not, there are enough large staging companies out there that are, there are staging companies that are bigger than Leanne and I were. They're making multi-million dollar revenues a year, and at some point in time, they're going to want to sell their business, and I'm one of the few experts. I'm a CPA. I'm a master stager. I've been through the process of selling a business. It took us from start to finish, it took us 2 years to sell our business. And it's a process. And if you don't go through the process, then you're not going to get top dollar for your staging business.
And you shared that, and we have, we'll wrap up the call after this, but the people that bought your company, they weren't even in the industry. Because I know that, like, there's a company out of Portland that has now four locations, Seattle, San Francisco, and Orange County. And they, and they've acquired other staging companies. That's how they did it. But the people that bought your company, they were from completely outside the industry looking for something different.
Yeah, that's right. And anybody that's interested needs to come to my session. But one of the things that Leanne and I did is when we told our best clients that we were, that we sold the company and we were leaving, they said, okay, what's the new owner's telephone number? They didn't care about us. They cared about the service that we provided to them. Okay?
Right.
And last two weeks ago, they did 14 stagings. Last week, they did 12 stagings. And this week, we talked to the new owner. They already have 9 stagings on the book. They're going to do more stagings in, what month is this? In September, than we've ever done in any 1 month. And we've only been gone for 7 weeks. That's what good job Leanne did in saying this business is not about Leanne Kramer. This business is not about Leslie Kramer. This business is about Traditions Interiors. And we did such a good job, our customers don't miss us.
Right. That's funny.
They don't miss it.
And that's good. It is good. I mean, and you guys are still involved. Leanne's still doing the decorating side, and you're still involved in the industry, but just a different facet. So Leslie has his breakout session is it's an advanced session, and there's a limited amount of space for every breakout session. So if people want to get on that, all these sessions will be recorded, and I know that we'll be hearing more about your business as it grows. But I'm just saying, I'm thankful that you're doing this, because for many years it was sort of like, oh, we can't talk about leaving the industry, because it's almost like that's we don't want people to think like, oh, one day you're going to be gone and, you know, maybe doing something else. But the fact is that we are building these products that are, you can monetize them. People don't just have to walk away and have a garage sale and sell their stuff off. So
You're exactly right, and that's what we did. We took risk off the table is what we did. We got paid handsomely for it, and guess what? The way we did our deal is we're still staging and we're still decorating. I got a call today, and Leanne got 2 calls today, and we get to continue doing what we like to do. All we have to do with the new owner is rent furniture. All of the fees per se, the staging fee, that's ours. We get to keep that.
Right.
We pay them the rental fee on the furnishings and the delivery fee. So people can go, but Leslie, you're not a stager anymore. Yes, I am, because we worked it into the deal. And Leanne and I both still stage. We can stage as many houses as we want to. We just have to rent our furniture from the new owner.
Right, and you said along, where a lot of times the money, that people that get into the seven figures is because they have the furniture. that's what they're doing, because it'd be really hard to try to get into the seven figures doing just running third party. So
you're exactly correct, and I think everybody needs to know. And these are the things that we didn't know. We didn't have, there was nobody as we were growing. There were a couple of people that were as big as we were going to be, but they really didn't know either. But I'm going to share all these numbers with people. 75% of our revenue was from furniture rental.
Right. Yep. Yeah, so that's that's the lucrative part. But it also takes a sort of the chicken and the egg, because to get there, you need the capital to make it happen. So
You're right.
And so having a strategic plan.
I have a solution to that too. I have a solution for that too. But
good. Well, I appreciate you being on the call with us, and those of you that are on the call from the different areas all over the country. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, John Matthews.
Yeah.
We'll see you both at conference, and of course Leslie will be there, and our next call will not be until November, because October of course is our conference, so we're not going to have a call until Monday, November 18th will be our next IHOS membership call. So this is a recorded call, and they're all uploaded on our site under the membership portal, and in the back month as well. So thank you all for joining us, and again thank you Leslie, thank you John, thank you Barb, thank you Krista. And Betty, if you're listening, I hope you landed safely. And we'll see everybody in Nashville. And so get your tickets if you haven't been. You don't want to miss out. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your evening. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.